Welcome to the Living a Nordic Life podcast, where we explore a simpler, cozier, and more intentional life the Nordic way. I'm Fiona McKenna, your Nordic living guide and founder of Living a Nordic Life, where I share all things Nordic living and show you that a Nordic life is the way to bring intentional calm and healthy habits into your own life, wherever you are in the world. Are you looking for ways to bring simplicity, coziness, and calm into your life? Well, let me show you how. Visit the Living a Nordic Life website to explore how I can help you on your journey to simple, healthy, and happy calm, the Nordic way. You can subscribe to the podcast right here. And if you want regular inspirational emails sent with love from Norway and straight to your inbox, don't forget to subscribe to the Living a Nordic Life newsletters. And so now let's dive into our episode. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast, and I want to talk to you about something a little bit different this week. I want to talk to you about what it's like to be pregnant and have a baby in Norway. Mia, my youngest, turned 5 at the beginning of the year in January, and I had a few moments of remembering her arriving into the world and my first experience of that in a country that wasn't my home country. And a country where I didn't understand everything, because there's an awful lot of jargon with these things, isn't there? You know, you really have to be very fluent to understand it. My eldest two kids were both born in England, in Dorset, in southwest England, in a hospital called Dorchester Hospital. And it's a lovely hospital. It's part of the National Health Service, which is the British public health system. And hospitals are graded. Dorchester Hospital, its maternity unit is a 5-star unit, so it's one of the best in the country. And although we may not actively investigate the pregnancy and birth processes, when we're younger, we do take it all in, don't we? And there's less sense of intense trepidation in your home country than there is if you're in another country. And everything's happening very fast in a language that isn't your mother tongue. It's difficult to keep up. But with Mia, right from the start, Andre, my partner, and I decided that she would be born in Norway. But I was still really nervous. What would it be like? Would we be okay? How much intervention would there be? Would I be listened to? Giving birth to your first baby is always the most frightening. You have so little idea of what to expect. And even if you attend every single birthing and parenting class possible, which you do, don't you? You're still not quite as ready as you want. You can't be, because nobody, however much people talk about it, they can't really share what that experience is going to be like for you personally. And despite having had 2 children and being much calmer, I still had those niggling doubts. And I remember searching endlessly on the internet for anything that would tell me what being pregnant and giving birth in Norway was like and what I could expect, and from the point of view of a foreigner as well. And so, in that spirit, I want to share with you what it's really like to be pregnant and give birth in Norway. And that's from my own point of view, because, of course, it's different for everybody and it's very personal. But I promise you, I'm not going to share too much detail. You don't need to worry. We're being very Nordic in that sense, and very British as well, because we don't talk about these things very much, and we don't need to share everything. I'm going to share the details that I think are important to you, but you don't need to turn off. There's not going to be anything triggering. The first thing is that it's very much driven by the mother-to-be. You are really empowered. And this is a fairly European-wide thing. The mother-to-be is in complete control of her pregnancy and the delivery, unless there are particular medical reasons why not. But we're actively encouraged to make sure that we're being heard by all the medical professionals involved. And that is right from the start, from the very first meeting, from the very first scan. You are constantly encouraged to take charge of your pregnancy. The second one is your midwife is your main point of contact. And I'm not sure how this works in other areas, but certainly in Europe, the midwife, or jordmor in Norwegian, is the person who has the most experience of pregnancy and labour, and usually far more than your family doctor. You really probably wouldn't want your family doctor there. You really want the midwife, or maybe two midwives. They're brilliant at it. They do it all the time. A specialist doctor will only be involved if there's a problem, and the midwife is the main point of contact for you, right from the start, and someone you see every month until those final few weeks when you see her or him every week. They're also your point of contact at hospital as well when you're giving birth. You probably won't see the doctor. You might see the paediatrician at the end when he checks your baby. But during your labour and delivery, it's the midwife who is there with you. The medical professionals follow your instruction to the letter. They really do. In England, I'd made birth plans for both my older children, the first one of which was completely ignored, I have to say. And I did the same in Norway, although it was never mentioned and I was never asked. I actually mentioned it to my midwife on some of my visits when I was pregnant. She was a bit, yeah, you can if you want to or not. You know, you could just tell her when you get there to the hospital. But I really wanted to be prepared, so I made all of these plans of how I wanted everything to be, how I wanted to deliver my baby, what I wanted to happen afterwards, all of these things. And I wanted to be certain that my wishes were followed as much as possible at a time when you're not always able to express yourself very well. It's nice to have something in writing. But as it happened, the midwife in the labour ward took my birth plan from me, scanned through it super fast and followed it to the letter. She was amazing. You are encouraged to give birth as naturally as possible. When I was pregnant with Brendan, my eldest, I had this long list of things that I wanted when I gave birth. I wanted everything, all the things, epidural, all the anaesthetics, tens, the whole shebang. But when you reach labour, you usually, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but you usually realise that those things are not quite as important. And incredibly, you know what to do. Women have been doing this for millennia. We know what to do. In Norway, you're very gently but firmly encouraged to do everything as naturally as possible. It's available if you need it, of course it is. But your midwife encourages you to try the natural approach first. It's always, should we just give this a try? We have these things that you can try. You could try a different position, walking about. Maybe use the water. All these things. Maternity suites here in Norway are very calm and quiet. And I think this was one aspect, I don't think, I know, it was one aspect of being in labour and postnatal that I loved. Gosh, it was such a difference from the UK. Giving birth to my older two in an English hospital was a little bit chaotic, I have to say. The maternity ward, or the maternity unit, even though it was locked and people had to buzz to come in, it was noisy. And it seemed absolutely full of all kinds of random people. All sorts of people visiting. Everybody from the fathers, which of course is natural, to grandparents, to neighbours, or it felt like that. But Norwegian maternity units have very strict rules and you do not cross those rules. No one is allowed to cross the threshold unless they are the partner of the mother or siblings of the baby. There are no visits by grandparents or friends. Those visits can take place, but they must be in the hospital cafe or public areas. And the mother who's just given birth, she will take her baby out in a little kind of pushing pram thing. I'm not sure what they're called, actually, with the baby in there, and it's sort of got glass sides. But they don't come into the maternity unit. They don't disturb the other mothers because there are people giving birth at all sorts of weird times of day. You know, it's not 9 to 5, this. And people don't want to be disturbed. They want their privacy. And the peace and quiet of that is strictly protected. And it's a wonderful feeling. There is so much calm. You are invited and you're often expected to stay in hospital for 3 nights. Yep. And this surprised me a little bit because elsewhere there's this kind of scramble for beds. and you're almost rushed out of the door. You certainly moved out very quickly out of the delivery suite into a ward or something. You're barely given time to breathe. But in Norwegian hospitals, they're quite surprised when you say you want to go home. And it is a really good idea to stay, because day two of having a new baby is always the hardest. That baby suddenly realises that he or she is out in the big cold world, and they scream a lot. In fact, they just scream. And you are so tired. You're more tired than you've ever been. It's a blessing to have someone around you who is patient and experienced, and to not have the pressure of doing all those things that you would normally feel that you needed to do, and the things that you feel you need to do at home. You can simply relax and be with your baby and get to know each other a little bit before you go home. It's all free. Yeah, you heard me. All of it. Everything from that very first appointment to the birth process to the hospital stay. And whilst you're in hospital, the maternity unit has its own little canteen, only for mothers, where you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want. You can make tea and coffee, and there are always snacks available. Healthy snacks, I might add. You know, it's not full of chocolate and biscuits, that kind of thing. It's a lot of healthy snacks and small meals for whenever you're hungry, because you do get hungry. And if you've just had a baby and it's, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's not time for lunch, or it might be midnight, like Mia was born, you want to be able to go and get something. But they also include nappies, bedding, baby wipes, towels, in fact, everything you might need. You just need to take yourself and some clothes, and some clothes to take the baby home. When I moved from the delivery ward into a maternity ward with Mia, you know, a few hours after she was born, I got my own nappies out and I got out all this stuff. And the midwife came up to me and she said, "No, you need to put those away. You take those home and use those at home. You're going to use ours. You know, we have everything set up here. It's all here for you to use." And I was quite taken aback, and it was a lovely feeling. Partners and siblings of the new baby are invited to every appointment, every single one. Almost every appointment Andrea and I went to together. And on quite a few, I also took Millie and Brendan, my eldest two. And my midwife was brilliant. She got both kids involved with little models, listening to the baby's heartbeat and looking at the scans and identifying the baby. It was fantastic. And it really helped any kind of issues that the kids might have with feeling that they were being left out, because they weren't. So my own labour with Mia was the most calm I could have expected. We arrived in the middle of the night after calling the maternity unit to find that the midwife was actually waiting for us at the door of the maternity unit. There was nobody else there. It was completely calm. You know, it was not full of people. And she showed me to the labour suite, which was this haven of tranquility. She turned down the lights, and she'd lit electric candles and put them all over the place. Everything was ready, with a little unit set up for the baby and the bed welcoming. But rather than sitting on the bed, you're encouraged to move around. Stand up, walk, take a bath. All those things that women for thousands of years have been doing, and less of the drugs and intervention. The thing that struck me the most was that a few minutes after Mia was born, the midwife took her to a bench to weigh her, like they do, and do the usual Apgar test, where they test their reflexes and make sure that the baby is responsive. But when she handed her back to me, she had already dressed her in a nappy, a tiny little hospital baby grow, and a woolly hat. It was the most lovely, caring, intuitive gesture, and it was something that they always do. But not anything I had previously experienced. But it's something I always remember. So I hope if you are either curious about what it's like to be pregnant and have a baby in Norway, that's great. I hope that that's answered some of your questions. And if you are pregnant and you are going to have a baby here in Norway, I hope that that has alleviated some of your fears. Because I promise you, you are going to be really well cared for. So thank you for listening, and I will see you next week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the Living a Nordic Life newsletters. so you can get an email when I release a new episode. It's a quick and easy way to keep up with all things Nordic living. Please visit livinganordiclife.com. You can listen to Living a Nordic Life on lots of podcast apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, and plenty of others. If you've enjoyed the Living a Nordic Life podcast, why not leave me a rating? So that's the end of Living a Nordic Life for today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.